This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
We've a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you, one that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation and diversion for you and your family. Did you fail to dress up for tonight's show? No tie, an old shirt and slacks, a house dress? Well, don't give it a thought. We're glad you came as you are. We just want you to enjoy yourselves.
Time for a Listen to Sassy special. It is the summer of 1989 and we're watching TV and all there is are ads for movies. So let's get into it.
And when it comes to the safety of these people, there's me and then there's God, understand?
Big time.
From James Cameron, the writer and director of The Terminator and Aliens.
You never backed away from anything in your life, now fight!
The Abyss.
Damn, enjoyed that.
It's a line that I still shout at people when they're just like struggling. It's just like a pant leg or something. And then they're like, I'm like, you've never given up on anything in your life, no fight! It's so good. So pleasing. To me.
1989, when America fell in love with James Cameron falling in love with water. Were we ever so young?
It's so much longer than you remember The Abyss. It's
and
real
then he
long.
Made it longer.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie, but no. It's way too long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Milo and Otis are the best of friends, and together they've learned a lot.
What?
Like, clawing your way to the top is tough. You can teach an old dog new tricks. And when you're in a pinch, you may have to grin and bear it. But don't forget to keep your head above water. The Adventures of Milo and Otis, rated G. Coming to select cities and theaters on June 15th.
It will become like the movie. Everybody's always talking about The Adventures of Milo and Otis. It's amazing to watch these dogs and cats do these things. And then you'll get older and you will learn that 30 kittens were killed in the making of Milo and Otis. And one of them had their paw broken on purpose so that they'd limp. And then another one was thrown off a cliff. And then I guess I really had a dog fight a bear. And then all of them, these scenes were deleted from the American version.
Man,
it grossed 13.3 million in the United States, according to Wikipedia, and it was the number one Japanese film on the domestic market in 86. It was the third highest grossing film ever in Japan, beaten only by E.T. and Antarctica. I didn't hear about the animal cruelty until the internet, which will tell you the worst thing about everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah,
damn, mm-hmm. Can't unknow that. Thanks, Pam.
Sorry, that's what I'm here for.
The real story. The love story. A woman in danger. A hero in black. The adventure you've been waiting for.
Where does he get those wonderful toys?
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Rated PG-13. Now playing at a theater near you.
All right, Pam. Pretend I'm an alien.
Okay.
I've just landed on Earth. Explain Batman to me.
The movie or the bat?
The general character of Batman.
Oh, man. I don't even... Well, we'll see how I do. So he's Bruce Wayne, and he's not a superhero. He is a rich man who has a lot of good toys, as you heard in this preview. He has a cave of isolation and silence that's cold and icy, and a butler named... Cheryl.
Let me write that down. Cheryl
Prince. Sticker. We gotta see it. Cheryl.
Cheryl Water Village wall computer. And Batman gets a bat signal, which is convenient because he's the Batman. His parents died. His parents are dead. He's sad. He's an orphan. And a thing goes into the sky that's shaped like a bat, and that's Gotham, which is New York. And they need him sometimes to help fight bad guys with his gadgets. He doesn't actually fly, I don't think, in any way, and certainly not in a Superman-y way. It's all webs, but not like Spider-Man. He is a knockoff superhero. And Kim Basinger and Jack Nicholson. Penguins.
That's like 80% of the way.
Yeah, I think you confused Superman's Fortress of Solitude.
Yes, and if that that's the one that
I definitely did.
The Batcave is what you were thinking of.
But the Batcave isn't a Fortress of Solitude, though.
It is his Fortress of Solitude. It but just isn't cold. The Fortress of Solitude.
Yes.
It hasn't been branded the Fortress of Solitude.
I can name
5
Batmans.
It's all webs. Famously, bats love to make webs.
She got really defensive there. I can name 5 Batmans. Go,
name 5
do it.
Batmans. Name that Batman.
Name the Batmans.
Okay, there is... I'm getting pressure. This
so
is
far,
why
you're zero.
On game shows. Hang on. It's George Clooney.
Okay.
It is... just give me a second. I'm very nervous with
you're
my brain.
20% of your goal.
It's fine. Adam West. It 2. Is Michael Keaton.
3.
It is... Heath Ledger.
Nope.
Dang.
Damn it. He was just the Joker. Buzz. He was just the Joker.
Yes.
Okay. So that
Did
was Christian Bale.
Did you think he played both parts?
But wait.
That was Christian Bale.
Wait. Do you think the Joker and Batman are the same character, or is this like two sides of a coin?
Well, we haven't gotten to the end of Batman's story yet, have we? So maybe. Okay.
All right.
Maybe.
Well, let's continue. You got 3 so far.
No, I have 4. I have 4 because I said Christian Bale.
Okay, and Christian Bale.
And there's Who is that man who is like in that Chris Pine era, like the now? It's not Zach Quinto. It's
I can name 5 Batman.
She's
I
so
can
close.
Name 5 Batmans.
It's he is
Look,
not Harry Styles.
If you want to
he's
give up
Harry
on that one.
Oh, I thought you were going for the one before him.
Oh, you're going for the most recent one.
Yeah, there's the most recent
the Harry
one.
Potter
who's in
Lighthouse
the Batman.
One.
Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson is
okay,
the
there's
Batman.
One more. There's one like big one that you're missing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who's in the like Clooney era of
no.
Batman's?
Well, kind of. He's not in the Clooney, obviously. Clooney era is just one show, one movie. It's the
oh,
Clooney
he
era.
Only did one.
He only did one.
Smart man.
Yeah.
And I did.
There's
Michael
another
Keaton.
One that only did one, and that's who you're missing.
Oh,
well, you're missing. You're also missing the one between Christian Bale and Robert Pattinson,
who I thought was Heath Ledger.
He was no Heath Ledger was with Christian Bale. There's the
oh,
one who
wait,
was...
there's Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's not who Dave is thinking
no,
of.
No. I forgot. I honestly forgot about Ben Affleck. There's one more.
One bat tier. Just
he's
out of
definitely,
the mask. Is it Christian Slater?
No, he's definitely at a high point during our sassy era here.
Yeah.
He's definitely a big deal.
I don't think he's come up in any issue yet so mm-hmm. far. They haven't reviewed any of his movies for sure.
Is he in the one that's like with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where it's like
no,
Batman
that was
and Robin?
George Clooney.
Nope. Mm.
He's the one before that. I'll give you that hint.
I don't know.
He was in Top Gun.
Tom Cruise was the Batman?
No, it was Anthony Edwards.
No. I don't
That's an alternate universe I want to see.
How about this? Wait, hang on. Here's another hint.
Val Kilmer was Batman?
Yes. I don't know if that comes through my mic, but I was chomping my teeth.
I'm gonna go watch that.
I did it too.
Val Kilmer was
yes,
Batman.
And his love interest was Nicole Kidman in that one.
Why don't I remember any of this?
That was
I
the
was
third
busy.
One.
I was busy making mixtapes. Was there a famous song in that one?
Yeah, Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, I was busy listening to that song. First of all, I think I moved 3 times in that year. If this is when that is, Kiss from a Rose. I was busy listening to Metallica. I missed that Batman.
Michael J. Fox.
Hey, Sarge, you gotta give me a minute here on this thing we're doing.
Sean Penn.
I don't want nothing but charm people around me on this one, gentlemen, so bring you good luck stuff like this, Sarge. This is kidnapping, and it's us.
Even if these 4 guys get convicted, they're not gonna do any real time.
Even in war.
You think you're standing up to me?
Murder is murder. Casualties of War. Rated R. Starts Friday, August 18th at select theaters.
2 things about this movie. 1, how come everybody's talking like the dog from the cartoon? He's like, hey, yeah, sure, whatever you say there, bigger dog. The other thing is, this is the first war movie I saw that made me realize that all war movies aren't fun like Arnold Schwarzenegger kill fests. Like, right. I generally thought, oh, it's a war movie. I'm going to enjoy it because it's bullets and fun. Mm-hmm. And this one was like, well, this sucks.
On top of that, Dave, same thinking. This is exactly what I was going to say in Wi-Fi.
Oh, my God. How many kittens got killed in the making of Casualties of War?
No. Is this not the first Michael J. Fox?
Don't leave my party.
Is that why he's all wiggly now?
I thought, Dave, I was like, if I have to go and see all these damn war shoot 'em up things, at least finally I'll see one that's got Sean Penn and Michael J. Fox in it. And it's fancy with fancy people making it. And no, it was not fun. It was not fun.
No.
It's terrible.
Like, honestly, if you read that title, you should be like, oh, come on, guys. You can think of a better, like, you know, let's not put it right on the tin. Like, it should be called Sad War.
This is a movie that I mostly know as a bit from David Spade's act back in the day where he did an impression of Michael J. Fox in it that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. 3,000 people were killed during the making of Casualties of War and 5 dogs.
All families have their problems, but only one has Cookie.
Yo.
Peter Falk.
You gotta teach this kid some manners.
Diane Weiss.
Now you two learn to love each other. Right now!
Emily Lloyd.
I'm just trying to save your life.
They're a family. The family will never forget.
What, you want me to lose them?
Beginner's luck.
Cookie. Directed by Susan Seidelman. Rated R. Starts Wednesday, August 23rd.
I have no idea what that movie's about after listening to that ad.
This is something that they talk about on our friend Joe Reed's podcast, This Had Oscar Buzz, of like a whole class of movies that only exist for you as posters that you saw in the video store. And this is that for me. As soon as I saw this name on the list, I was like, I can picture it exactly. And there it was. It was like Peter Falk leaning against a car with Emily Lloyd, and she's blowing a huge gum bubble, looking real cute. But you can hear her in this commercial sounding like a British person trying to do a Queens Mafia accent, because that's what she is. This is from Susan Seidelman, who her big title was before this was Desperately Seeking Susan.
Yeah, I would watch this right now.
There were expectations on this one that I think were not met by people that were hoping it was as fun as that.
Do the right thing is astonishing, declares Newsweek.
Trust me. Mookie, the last time I trusted you, we ended up with a son.
You laugh as you laughed when Lenny Bruce or Richard Pryor touched a raw nerve. It pulses with humor, movement, sexuality, and music, says Rolling Stone.
You the man.
Are you the man?
No, you the man.
Are you the man?
Siskel and Ebert give it 2 thumbs up, and the New York Times calls it fabulous. Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing, rated R.
Fabulous is a very funny word for it. I mean, it's a great movie, of course, but the funny thing about watching this commercial in the context of going through every day of the New York Times in June and July is that, like, the number of op-eds that there had to be after Do the Right Thing from these fucking white New York Times writers being like, does it go too far or does it go too far enough? Like, it's just, it really upset people in the ways that I imagine it was intended to. And it's really worth revisiting if you haven't watched it in a while. Great movie.
Friday the 13th, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. New York has a new problem, rated R. Starts Friday, July 28th, at theaters everywhere.
I like to think back on a time where was frightening.
The scariest thing you could hear.
Okay, so I don't want to tell these people their business, but obviously the play was, after the horror stuff starts to kick in, is that you have a horror version of the song continuing, not whatever they were doing.
I did not see this movie. I don't think I've seen any Friday the 13th other than the first one.
I saw the first one well after, like, all of them were out, or,
yes,
like, many of them were out.
Because
they're like, I was like, well, I just don't like horror films.
I may have seen it as an adult, in fact.
Super tame and boring.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason's not really in it.
Yeah.
The second one is the movie that people think Friday the 13th just generally is, which is a guy in a hockey mask.
Yeah.
Put machetes in people's skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that one. I'm like, I get it. I get why you're into it. Weird Fangoria guy who's in the pleather jacket in the smoking section of the school parking lot. Mm-hmm. I understand why you would hook into this, but it is absolutely not for me.
We're the best. We're the beautiful. We're the only Ghostbusters.
The wait is over.
Happy New Year.
And the fun's about to begin.
Are we all going mad?
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters are back.
It's slime time.
Two in the box.
Ready to go.
We be faster.
They be slow.
Ghostbusters 2.
Back.
An Ivan Reitman film rated PG. Opens Friday at theaters everywhere.
You know, I never would have thought that my parents were like really susceptible to reviews, but Ghostbusters was a movie that was quite beloved in my house. We had the soundtrack on a record, like a long playing vinyl record, because it was the past. This may have been the only movie that my parents like took us to see more than once in the theater, because they probably, mostly my dad, really liked it.
Ghostbusters 2.
No, Ghostbusters, the original. I'm still talking about it. This is my point, that they must have read the reviews of Ghostbusters 2 and been like, we're fine skipping this because I still have never seen it.
Oh, really?
No.
Speaking of Jason's, one of the first things I ever read or saw when I was searching Jason up on social media, and I didn't know him very well yet, was a tweet that he wrote that said, "Too hot to handle, too cold to hold, attending a combination baby shower and Easter brunch." It's like, I like him. It Ghostbusters 2 is like, that song is the most famous thing to come out of Ghostbusters 2. It's still today.
Yeah. The only thing I know about it is that Dana was like a cellist in the first one. And then in the second one, for no reason, she's an art restorer, or the other way around. I forget which it is. But they just like fully changed her job from one movie to the next.
Well, it would be art restoring the second one, because the haunted painting of some dude is one of the plot points. Yeah,
I see.
From Walt Disney Pictures. Professor Wayne Szalinski's shrinking machine accidentally has gone out of control.
What happened?
Honey, I shrunk the kids. I threw them out with the trash. They're in the backyard.
Now they're battling for survival. In the adventure of a lifetime.
Scorpion! Please! Hold on!
Rick Moranis stars.
Dad, don't eat me!
In Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Rated PG.
Starts tomorrow at a theater near you.
It's Honey, I Shrank the Kids. I've been mad about this for 33 years.
Oh my God.
That's all.
Oh my God.
Shrank.
I wasn't ready for that. Here we go.
Oh my God.
Just the premise in hearing that trailer, I bet there's some kids out there about 10 years younger than I am. They're pretty scarred by watching that. It feels like the kind of movie that if you watch it just like a year too early, it really gets into your psyche and kind of like fucks you up.
Yeah. My sister was the right age for this. She was 9 the summer that this came out. So I have seen it. I don't think we saw it in the theater. But there's some.
But then they get like chased by ants and shit like that, right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be scary.
There is like legit for kids scariness in it for sure. But I remember it not being boring. I think there's some charming stuff in it.
How many of the kids survived?
On Wednesday, May 24th, Paramount Pictures invites you to have the adventure of your life.
Dad! Fuck! Dad! Fuck!
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Are you crazy? Don't go between them!
Go between them! Are you crazy?
Harrison Ford. Sean Connery.
You call this archaeology?
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Rated PG-13. Starts Wednesday, May 24th at theaters everywhere.
Somewhere in California, there's a 67-year-old former movie marketing director that is still trying to dine out on Keeping Up with the Joneses as his big thing. And then Steven Spielberg's eyes lit up when I sold him on the tagline, Keeping Up with the Joneses. I worked for 3 more months after that. Raiders, and then this one, I guess, is the second best. And then a toss-up between the super problematic Temple of Doom and the incredibly boring Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is weird because this one is like okay.
Yeah.
But somehow it still managed to be new, which really just talks to the disparity between Raiders of the Lost Ark and everything that came after.
I have to put Crystal Skull ahead of Temple of Doom, not just because of the problematic elements, but at least Crystal Skull brings back Marion.
Right. Which one do you think is the most problematic, Pam? The one where he
Robert Pattinson
searches for God's tickle trunk in North Africa, the one where he wants to get a magic stone that feeds people in India, the one where he spends some time in the catacombs in Italy, or the one with
Shia LaBeouf.
One with Shia LaBeouf playing a greaser.
Wait. You're not making any of that up? No. Those are the Indiana Jones movies?
Yes. Yeah.
Little boy.
Wow.
You've never seen any of them?
I've seen the first one Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's why I guess I didn't know all these other ones just said Indiana Jones. So it's not Raiders of the Lost Ark 2, 3, 4. How would I know what were the other Indiana Jones movies?
Yeah, what kind of, how come it wasn't Raiders of the Temple of Doom and Raiders of the Shankar Stones or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the other thing about watching Raiders as an adult, which I did after I was married to Dave, not that I was against it, but I just, it was not part of my lexicon. I saw Last Crusade before Raiders. I think I said that when we watched it, when we talked about it before. Dave is disgusted. He's getting our marriage annulled. but the funny thing watching it now, funny in air quotes, is how many times Marion is just like tied up and left places where like every time you leave the scene, I feel like she should be like, well, I hope I don't get raped, because it just seems like in an R-rated movie, that's exactly what would happen. But they're just happy to tie her up and have her kidnapped and not do anything.
That's what you had to do with strong female characters.
Right.
Tie them.
Maybe you didn't hear me. I need your title.
The challenge.
There's nothing you got that I can't counter. Your karate's a joke.
The conflict.
What are you saying? You're not going to train me for the tournament?
For tournament. Cannot.
The trap. The friendship.
Now, will you train me?
Of a lifetime.
Hey.
The Karate Kid Part 3 opens June 30th at theaters everywhere.
What a weird line. Your karate's a joke.
I feel like the end of that, one of those exchanges should be Mr. Miyagi being like, no, I'm not going to train you for the tournament, Daniel. You're 24.
You're losing your hair.
Stop doing
time to stop fighting other boys.
Yes. Go to college. Make something of your life. You cannot live through these tournaments anymore.
You've never even kissed a girl.
Karate Kid 3 has a 13% on Rotten Tomatoes currently.
This isn't the one with Hilary Swank, right?
That's the next Karate Kid. That's the one after this.
I was going to Indiana Jones you and ask if you knew who is the lady in this one, Dave. But I'm going to, you already said that you're not quite sure.
Is it in the third one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everything I know about the Karate Kid, I only know through Cobra Kai.
Right.
Right.
And I believe Elizabeth Shue was from the first one, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
she didn't come back for any after that.
She didn't come back. Mm-hmm. So this is 89. Who is, I don't know.
No.
Somebody still famous?
No, but well, I mean, yeah, it's Robin Lively.
Oh, I never would have guessed that.
It's Blake Lively's sister. Teen Witch.
Kate Trotter was a man with nothing to lose, but an uninterrupted losing streak.
I'll do. Until the day he got struck.
By luck.
By God, Trotter, you won!
$59,000.
This is a lot of money.
Richard Dreyfuss.
May I buy you a drink?
I don't see why not. I'm on the pill.
Let it ride.
Am I having a good day or what?
Rated PG-13. Starts Friday, August 18th at theaters everywhere.
Now, I know Midnight Run.
Yeah, the here we go.
I work with Midnight Run. Let it ride. You are no Midnight Run. Even if you steal the Midnight Run soundtrack.
They movie commercials love to do that. Steal the music from better commercials. Like, how many fucking ads have you, or from better movies? Shawshank soundtrack is so tired at this point. But this is another one that was just a poster to me. And the idea of making America fall in love with Richard Dreyfuss as a degenerate horse racing gambler is a choice that was made.
I feel like this one was on cable a lot.
Probably.
It really does feel, bargain priced.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a double feature with Moon Over
Peridor.
When Mel Gibson's on the case.
I'd like to see a driver's license and proof of insurance.
He he's got a way of driving Danny Glover crazy.
You go first, I'm really too over this.
You go first, I'll cover you.
The police work, officer.
And the women, too.
Lucky, I have to live with that.
Lethal Weapon 2, rated R. Starts Friday, July 7th at a theater near you.
All right, Pam, who do you think the villains of Lethal Weapon 2 are? They're not drug dealers. And they're not just like, you know, low-level ne'er-do-wells.
Oh, okay. They're not just like...
Like the baddies like belong to something big. Mm. Let me get, I'll narrow it down for you.
Yes,
a lot Russians. Of the scenes take place at an embassy. So the baddies are a nationality.
That's why I started with Russians. Because it was, you know, the style at the time.
Incorrect.
There were a lot of Russian bad guys. Are they...
It was another country that was fairly poorly regarded by the rest of the world at this time.
That's safe to say, yes.
I don't really even want to make a guess because I feel like you'll just learn where I was taught.
No.
Because I won't be known.
Barbados.
Yeah. Is it Japan? Is like, is it a car dealership situation or something?
No.
See, I don't like these questions. I don't like them.
No. Something much more systemic than...
Systemic is a great word.
I would like to plead the fifth.
Okay.
They didn't want to play Sun City because of...
Yeah, the baddies are South Africans. Mm-hmm. And to the point where at the end, there's like... And the big baddie is like this big, gross, white, like Jabba the Hutt looking South African diplomat of some sort. And he gets to do all his crimes because he has diplomatic immunity. Whenever they want to arrest him, he just, you know, he can't arrest him. He's a diplomat. And then Danny Glover at the end shoots him, cricks his neck, and then says to nobody in particular, diplomatic immunity revoked.
Oh, gosh.
And it is the best! And then Eric claps his guitar and playing in the background.
This summer, try skin diving. Try skydiving. Try water skiing. Try keeping up with Bond. Timothy Dalton is James Bond 007. License to Kill, rated PG-13. Starts Friday, July 14th at theaters everywhere.
Bam's confused about something.
Is skin diving not a sex thing?
Is that, is he saying skin or skim?
Skin diving. It's like, I think it's just like snorkeling, isn't it? I thought it was like you wear a wetsuit, but you don't necessarily do scuba. But it might be, it might just be another word for scuba. Well, let's look it up.
I thought it meant go all the way.
My favorite part is that movie marketing executive from a couple movies ago was like, all right, I really hit it out of the park with Keeping Up with the Joneses. How about this? Keeping Up with Bond. Crickets in the room. That's when he was fired 3 months later. Now you understand the whole story.
It's swimming underwater without a diving suit, typically in deep water using an aqua lung and flippers. Oh.
Like pearl divers or something.
I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's sex. That's what my parents said sex was.
He was 6 months away from a normal life.
You plan on getting married when you get out of here?
Oh, yeah, that's the plan.
Where are we going?
Until a warden obsessed with revenge.
Gateway, 6 months could be a lifetime.
Took his future away.
I want to know about Frank Leone.
The odds of surviving? 1,000,000 to 1. Stallone, Lock Up, rated R.
Where are we going?
This, it feels like a huge oversight that we have not already watched this at this point. The bad guy is Donald Sutherland!
Yeah, no, we have watched it.
We have?
Yep. Forgettable. It's not very good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
23% Rotten Tomatoes.
There's a whole chunk in this general time period where Donald Sutherland's like, sure. There's another one called Virus, where he, for a large part of the movie, is assimilated by like some AI or alien thing. He's like a blob of flesh and wires and shit like that. And it's like, oh, Donald Sutherland, Jesus Christ, how big of a check was this one? It is so ridiculous. I'll find you stills of Donald Sutherland from Virus. It'll be like, Jesus H. Christ, how did this happen? It's kind of amazing.
Start screaming. And hold on tight.
They're not feeling dry.
This time, Freddy delivers.
the most amazing nightmare of them all.
Better buckle up.
A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. Rated R. Starts Friday, August 11th at theaters everywhere.
29% on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, we're going up. We're going up, you guys. I just don't know why anyone watched the Jason movies when there were these Freddy films being funny.
I'm with you. For the way people feel about Friday the 13th, this was like Nightmare on Elm Street was way more mine too. And I thought the second one was scarier than the first, in fact. I might have dipped out by this point, but I definitely saw a bunch of them. They were scary.
This one, I'll just tell you, it says, the nightmare begins soon enough, though, and Alice learns she's pregnant. When her friends start dying, Alice suspects that Freddy is using the fetus within her as a weapon.
Is this the one where one of the scenes has a dog peeing fire? Because that's the only thing I remember of the Freddy Krueger movies.
Wow.
There is one where a dog just lifts his leg instead of peeing and goes like a flamethrower. And I thought that was the funniest shit in the world when I saw it for the first time. I'm like, I can't watch any more of these. Nothing's going to top the dog peeing fire.
Freddy's resurrection scene is a really strange one. Kincaid is dreaming that he's in a car salvage yard, specifically the one where Freddy's bones were laid to rest. His dog appears and urinates onto Freddy's grave, which causes it to open up and allow for Freddy to be resurrected.
Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master.
Hulk Hogan is ripped. In the greatest challenge of his life. No ring. No rules. No referee.
This is an unprecedented display of strength and determination.
No holds barred. Rated PG-13. Starts Friday, June 2nd at theaters everywhere.
PG-13? Sounds like some holds are barred. What the fuck?
10% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is our biggest loser so far.
Wow.
Let her go!
Please, Mrs. Buckman, I love her.
Let her go!
It can drive you crazy.
Can't run out on me, you're my wife!
You're his what?
He got married a couple of days ago.
Are you out of your mind?
It can drive you wild. But it's the greatest adventure of them all.
Hey, what do you say later?
I wear this outfit.
Steve Martin, Rick Moranis, Keanu Reeves in a Ron Howard film, Parenthood.
Now playing at a theater near you.
Now, you guys know I thirst for adventure and I love things that are high adrenaline. Pam, would you say that Parenthood is the greatest adventure of them all?
Keeper Sutherland.
Don't need any help. No backup.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
First sign of trouble, I'll break your neck, Buster.
This time, they brought their guns to the city.
You're the cop they're looking for in the papers, aren't you?
The boys are back in town. Renegades.
Well, I'm having a good time. How about you?
I'm a little confused because the way that I mean, they're obviously trading off young guns.
Mm-hmm.
With the boys, they're back and all this stuff because this is not a sequel to anything. But right. In Young Guns, they are called the Renegades. Mm-hmm. So I feel like this is really kind of a cheap.
This was definitely my video store poster here. And this is our other Sutherland is in this one. Playing a Philadelphia cop named Buster McHenry. I mean, try.
McHenry?
McHenry. Okay. MC McHenry. Wow. Yeah, he's going undercover to investigate a gang headed by the ruthless Marino. He's forced to take part in a robbery that ends with the theft of a sacred Sioux artifact and the death of several onlookers.
Did Keith Sutherland ever make a good movie? Like, I know we all like Lost Boys, but like, did he ever make a good movie?
What about Flatliners?
Did he ever make a good movie?
Flatliners.
Wait, isn't he in Stand By Me?
Oh yeah, he's.
Oh yeah,
Stand
he's got
Me.
A bit part. Yeah, he's the bully or whatever, right? Yes. Or the brother or something like that. Yeah, but he's never like starred in something that is well regarded, right?
Well, according to the tomato meter.
You're a slave to the tomato meter.
Well,
Pam.
I'm just using it because I'm curious how these things aged. You got to go down a bit. Oh. Yeah, it is way more splats than non-scores.
I mean, the thing you well know him for is for his 24, right?
It's for
I mean,
24,
that's,
for
that's
sure.
His biggest thing.
Yes, yeah. that was the right move for him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you get when two idealistic hippies from the 60s resurface in the 80s to look up old friends?
I think I was getting these please don't sleep on the floor, come share my bed vibes.
Cheech Marin, Eric Roberts, Julie Haggerty, Robert Carradine, Cindy Williams, Buck Henry, Andrea Martin, Cliff DeYoung, Louise Lasser, in Rude Awakening.
I own tanning salons.
Hey, how do you get the sun to shine just on those guys who pay, man?
Rated R. Starts Wednesday, August 16th at theaters everywhere.
An all-cast movie.
What a cast.
This is definitely a movie where people were saw that commercial and went, what happened to Cheech and Chong? Like, everyone had to be wondering what kind of fallout happened between them that it was Cheech Marin and Eric Roberts of all fucking people.
19%. It says here that this was released smack dab in the middle of so-called Woodstock week, which I don't remember, but that makes sense.
Oh, would have been the 20th anniversary.
Yes. So that's why it was here. It was a parody of 60s culture.
Sure.
Shag.
Okay, I was going to pause. I meant to pause before you said shag. Uh-huh. But up to that point, if I told you that was a commercial for frozen yogurt and all the visuals were just swirls of frozen yogurt going into things, yeah. Would you buy it?
No, because yeah. I would think it was Dove bars.
I would buy the yogurt. I would buy this yogurt.
Yeah.
A movie about a great time you'll remember forever. Rated PG. Coming Friday, July 21st to your favorite theater.
I mean, I remember the first time I had frozen yogurt.
I would love to put Shag on the list for our next watch-along.
Please.
However, Pam is nodding excitedly. It is not streaming anywhere. You can't buy it. You can't rent it. It has fallen into a hole. You can buy the DVD, but that's it.
Save Shag. 65% on the tomato meter.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Audience score of 88. It's good.
What's it about?
Girl, it's set in 1963. It's just girls hanging out being in the 60s.
We haven't talked about Shag yet. It's Phoebe Cates and Annabeth Gish and
Bridget Fonda. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Andre Martin, Cheech Marin, Eric Roberts.
A lot of pushing guys' hands down while they try and slide up your crinoline.
Mm-hmm. What if Crybaby was pure?
Right.
With Dirty Dancing. It was like a sweeter Dirty Dancing.
Paramount Pictures presents Pauline Collins in her Tony Award-winning role, Shirley Valentine.
Two middle-aged women go into Greece on their own. It's disgusting.
You're going around the bend.
Oh, I do hope so. I've always wanted to travel.
She's sensational.
Does this mean we're perverted?
Incredible.
He's coming to fetch me to take me back home. He must have been watching Rambo.
One of the year's best.
I've fallen in love with the idea of living.
Shirley Valentine. Now playing at select theaters. Starts Friday at a theater near you.
I'm going to go watch this right now.
It's cute. I saw it at the time. This would have been one my parents rented for themselves that I also watched. It's, you know, it's cute.
73%.
In the great tradition of Disney wilderness classics comes the exciting tale of a daring African rescue. The story of two Americans risking their lives to save a wild cheetah. Only in theaters, it's an all-new Disney adventure. Cheetah, rated G. And from Touchstone Pictures, the critics are howling about Turner and Hooch. Tom Hanks is terrific, says Sneak Preview. Hooch is a canine terminator, proclaims Gannett News. And Joel Siegel raves, you'll sit up and beg for more. Turner and Hooch, rated PG, now playing, and Cheetah starts Friday.
Cheetah stars not as the cheetah. A cheetah plays the cheetah. But it also co-stars our friend.
Let me guess. Eric Roberts.
Kevin/Keith Coogan.
Oh, Keith Coogan forever.
Yep.
Here's a story. You can cut it if you want, but you'll both like it. I got picked up by an Uber 2 days ago at
Boo!
The big Disney lot. Well, I don't have a car. And okay. The car was in use on the other side of town.
Okay.
And it's hard to bike on the 5. So I took a car. And the guy picked me up and he said, what do you do here at Disney? You're an editor. And at first I was like, why did he start there? Like, what about me says editor? Mm. I don't know, but he was pretty sure. And I said, no, I'm a writer. And he goes, oh, are you working on like that Turner and Hooch reboot? And again,
it already got canceled.
What is he even, where is this?
He's a scoop blogger. This is how he gets the scoops.
Oh my God, it was Harry Knowles. Yes.
It went crazy from there, but that was the opening. Are you an editor? And if you're a writer, are you working on that Turner and Hooch reboot?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he have like a pitch for you to read or anything like that?
Oh, it's a little better than that.
Okay.
But yes, he did also say that if A24 is bought by Apple, then that's the end of the film industry and the independent film industry as we know it. Yeah, he had a lot of thoughts.
I think you should start taping your Uber drive. I think
you have no idea. Jeez, first of all, I got the note while we were still talking because I've never been just dropped off at my house. And so Jason is always watching the Uber car. And eventually the Uber will text, is everything okay? And then Uber texts my driver, is everything okay? And then Jason will text, what could you be possibly talking about still? Is it like places to eat in Baltimore? Get inside. Because I've never just gone somewhere. He was like, do they still charge you when you guys are like deep in it?
Pam, the degree to which this could never be me. I mean, no one ever tries to talk to me, and that's how I like
the
it.
The microsecond Tara's ass hits the back seat, there's a magazine out, and her face is behind.
Not a magazine. My headphones are in.
Or whatever.
I am listening to a podcast 100% of the time. I am not watching TV. And Dave, you know that.
It's true. It's very annoying.
I could very well be headphones on with a magazine in front of me, and they will still be like, so what do you do over here? You're an editor? Where are you going to dinner tonight? You have a friend? Like, it never fails. You from Poughkeepsie? Like, I don't, these things will just, or even on the way in, it was all about, I think I talked this guy out of being against the don't say gay mandate. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. Like, we agreed on so many things. And then he was like, but not like teaching kids some things. You know what I mean? And then I was just like, oh, here we go. And by the end of it, he was like, I hadn't really thought about it that way.
But wait, you just said you talked him out of being against the Don't Say Gay Bill.
No, I talked him. Oh, did I? Well, that's not what I mean. Please scrub that.
Yeah, George. How'd you like your own TV show? Okay.
Channel 62 needed a new station manager.
No, not him. Forget it. No way.
Well, this is even better than I imagined.
But what they got was a man so desperate for ratings.
Today, we're teaching poodles how to fly.
He put anyone on the air. It's Weird Al Yankovic in UHF. Rated PG-13. Special sneak preview Friday, July 14th. Check newspapers.
I have suggested watching this with Dave at various points during the last couple of years. I can't decide if it would be worse or better than when I saw it the first time.
I remember not really thinking it was all that funny when I saw it for the first time.
Mm.
And I probably would have been pretty primed to watch a Weird Al thing.
Yeah.
I remember some things, like I remember the Wheel of Fish being kind of just ridiculous and kind of funny just on its own premise. But
yeah,
I was very, very much into Airplane and Naked Gun. And this movie like is sort of that light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why have that light when you can have that?
Yeah.
Soup Plantations, Weird Al Yankovic.
Happy birthday!
Meet Uncle Buck. Woo! He's every kid's delight.
He's cooking our garbage.
And every parent's nightmare.
You think she hates me?
With a passion.
They invited him over.
I'm a big drooler.
Now, he won't go away. John Candy is Uncle Buck.
You have much more hair in your nose than my dad.
How nice of you to notice.
I'm a kid, that's my job.
From John Hughes, rated PG. Starts Wednesday, August 16th at a theater near you.
Macaulay Culkin breakout vehicle. You know, I love a fart joke, but putting a fart in your TV spot, which is 32 seconds long, is
daring.
Really making a statement.
I don't think I've seen this.
It's really putting the fart in the ground. The music. I used to go to the arcade, and this is for our St. Catharines listeners, at the Lincoln Mall, back when the Lincoln Mall still had, I don't even know if the Lincoln Mall still exists. It probably doesn't. I bet they're apartments or something now. Lincoln Mall used to have a theater. Attached to the theater was the Bayou Arcade. Why was it called the Bayou Arcade in the middle of fucking Niagara in wine country? I don't know, but it was. And the guy who was the quarter jockey there never didn't have Tone Loc's Wild Thing or Funky Cold Medina playing on the jukebox whenever it wasn't in use by anybody else. Because I assume you can just put in the quarters, you know, from the till, and they would just go back in the till eventually. So all the time, every time we went into that arcade, it was those two songs all the time for like 3 years. It was crazy how much, like, was he doing it to try to drive us out? Was it sort of like, you know, the mosquito noise in front of the 7-Elevens, but they didn't have that yet? So he figured, let's try Tone Loc on these guys. Didn't work. And here's why. There was a RoboCop pinball machine there that they didn't realize if you got the ball into a certain area, it would do something and give you a free credit. It was like some weird switch was broken. And so if you just wanted to keep stay there and play that one game all day, you could, because we'd always win free credits. Mm-hmm. Tone Loc or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can update you on Lincoln Mall's status.
Mm-hmm.
It's now the Lincoln Value Center. It's a big box mall.
That sounds about right for that and St. Catharines as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, Larry and Richard will uncover a fraud, impress their boss.
He loves us.
Discover he's dead. Pretend he's alive.
Hi. How are you today?
Avoid his killers. Take him for a walk.
Hi, Bert.
Take him for a swim. Take in some rays. Fall in love and do a little housekeeping.
Uh-oh.
Weekend at Bernie's. Rated PG-13.
Really?
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Feel like I don't need to see the movie now. I feel like I got the whole recap right there.
Have you seriously not seen Weekend at Bernie's?
Maybe. I know there was a sequel, and I'm just curious if the sequel is a immediately thereafter or whether they have another dead boss.
No.
Don't ruin it for yourself. See the first one first.
Do you want me to
tell you?
No, but apparently not. No, I want to preserve the sanctity of WAB.
This is WAB. The most famous premise of all time.
I know the premise. I know that from jokes. I just don't. If I have seen it, I don't remember it.
Yeah. This is the kind of stupid comedy that I want. I want to come back. Whatever that says
about
me.
I'm sorry. Can we just rewind for a second?
Yeah.
Pam, Sherald Ribbon just said, I don't believe you haven't seen
Sherald.
I'm telling you, Sherald Sticker.
What is the name of his butler?
You were never going to tell you. Ah! You didn't hear that. It's Sherald. You were right. Master Wayne. Here's your package.
Thank you, Sherald.
All right, do I need to see Weekend at Bernie's? Is it actually good? Or
I don't know. It's probably not good.
It's not great. It's 54%. It's dumb as hell.
Yeah, but it's a dumb 80s comedy. Yes. Okay.
All right.
Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan in a comedy about love.
Someone is staring at you in personal growth.
About life.
I'm going to be 40.
When? In 8 years.
And fresh produce.
Grab.
A new Rob Reiner comedy.
I'll roll down the window.
When Harry Met Sally. Rated R starts Wednesday at select theaters.
And then she says, I'll have what she's having.
Certified Fresh, not rated as high as Parenthood.
Wow. It's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very funny. It has a lot of really good parts. Very well observed. Why he's eating seeded grapes in the car, I will never know.
You ever been to Cat's Deli, Pam?
Yes.
Was it as chaotic then when you went as it was for me and I actually had to leave because there was too much going on?
Yeah, and I was like, they did not shoot that. They didn't shoot it in this kind of cats. it was busy.
I mean, I'm also vegetarian, so like, unless I just wanted to eat five pickles, there was really nothing there for me. But I was like, oh, I'm here. Let's check it out. Cacophony stuff everywhere. Outdoor. It was crazy. So much going on.
He turned Saturday night into the hottest party of the week.
Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger!
Then he headed for Hollywood.
I wonder if anybody will recognize us.
Where the party never ended.
A wild man, totally wild.
And for John Belushi, every night was Saturday night.
I'll go down in history!
Yeah!
Wired, rated R.
I'm watching Pam react to this extremely inappropriate marketing for this movie, which is about John Belushi dying of a drug overdose. Like, trying to make it sound like a cute, fun romp is probably the reason that Jim Belushi is still mad at Michael Chiklis, who played John Belushi in the movie.
And I was like, oh, this is the Yahoo Serious movie?
No.
It is not. No, I don't remember this at all. It's Michael Chiklis.
Yeah. The commish.
It says, a tasteless, unintentional parody of the life it attempts to dramatize. Wired butchers John Belushi's memory with a misguided screenplay and unnecessary recreations of classic performances. 4%.
Yeah.
Yay!
Was.
Hey, speaking about Yahoo Serious.
Who is this barbarian?
I'm a Tasmanian.
Young Einstein discovers the theory of relativity, which the bubbles into beer.
creates the world's first surfboard, wins the Science Academy Award in Paris, saves the world, falls in love, and invents rock and roll.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music.
Yahoo Sirius is Young Einstein. Starts Friday, August 4th.
I see what happened. I must have looked ahead and forgot.
Before there was Dickinson, there was Young Einstein.
Oh, directed and produced by Yahoo Sirius.
Mm-hmm. No one else would.
Yeah, who's Sirius up to these days?
Well, oh, let's find
he's
out.
Probably an anti-vaxxer. Let's find out.
Oh, gosh.
He's 68.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He also, his marriage to Lulu Sirius ended in 2007. In August 2000, Yahoo Sirius sued the search engine Yahoo for trademark infringement. The case was thrown out because Sirius could not prove that he sells products or services under the name Yahoo, and therefore could not prove that he suffered harm or confusion due to the search engine.
2017, from the reputable publication Daily Mail in the UK, rarely seen Yahoo Sirius, 63 at the time, pictured for first time in 10 years. As star goes unnoticed on the streets of Sydney after disappearing from Hollywood, he looks like he should be playing Andy Warhol.
Oh.
That's what he looks like now.
He's been in three movies, all of which have him as lead, director, writer, and producer. So he knows what he likes. Him.
He's recently applied for old age pension. That's what it says, because he was turning old enough to get it. That's what he said his plan was.
We wish him well, as we do all Australians.
All our aging listeners.
All of Sirius, seriously. Did he also sue Sirius while he was at it? Sirius XM? From one to the other.
We hope you'll make this a weekly visit. Bring the family. Bring your friends. A gay, pleasant evening for all. Oh, a word of caution. Come back soon.
A butler named Gerald.